Well, let's lay out what the scriptures really say. Can you be gay and Christian?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. It is a delight to be with you. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have questions about the Bible and homosexual practice, the Bible and sexuality, the Bible and purity, holiness, or how we deal with different types of sexual addictions or brokenness, give me a call, 866-348-7884. If you can see me and hear me clearly, send me some more love there on our Facebook live stream. I'm coming your way again live from Dallas, Texas. Had a great meeting this morning with local Assembly of God leaders. A great time yesterday with one of our grads down here who's a prominent evangelist, raised up by God, saved during the Brownsville Revival, then came to our ministry school and has been winning the lost and doing a great job reaching out and burning bright with the fire of God, which really blesses us to see burning passion for the lost to this day. Again, if you've got a question today, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. I never really heard from some of the NAR critics that I've invited to call in, and even though it's not my subject for today, fine, call if you like. But let me tell you how we got to where we are today. Let me tell you how we got to where we are. In terms of talking about the Bible and homosexual practice, I don't come out of homosexuality. I didn't come out of heavy sexual addictions. I was drug addicted. I was crazy. I was a gross sinner, a worldly sinner like anybody else. But drugs, rock music, that was what was all consuming to me. And I was not caught up in homosexuality. It's not part of my own background. I was never same-sex attracted. So when I got saved, I didn't think about that at all. I wasn't in a church that talked much about that. It was just not on my radar, just not something I gave thought or attention to. And gay activism in society, I really didn't focus on that either. So here I am following Jesus these many years. I preached holiness, sexual purity. I absolutely preached that. I knew the dangers, the temptations, all that. I preached that for years. But homosexual issues were not on my radar. We had someone close to our family come out of homosexuality and didn't come on my radar either. I knew this fellow after he was saved, but he'd come out of homosexuality. When he got saved, he gave his entire life to the Lord, including his sexual desires, and to his shock, found himself attracted to women, married someone close to our family. But even then, didn't have a burden to minister to those caught up in this. It was not until 2004 we moved from Pensacola. We moved from Pensacola to Charlotte. And I was overseas, but one of my colleagues from Fire School of Ministry went to a gay pride event in the city of Charlotte. And when he was at that gay pride event, he was just shocked by the open displays, by what was happening in the sight even of little children. And there were like lesbian cops and gay cops walking hand in hand. And you came in there with a Bible or a Christian t-shirt. They escorted you out of the park. And as he began to share this with me, my heart began to break. And I began to feel, well, not in my city. I didn't even want to be in Charlotte at that point. We were new there. Of course, God ended up calling us there and in the greater area, greater Charlotte area, calling our ministry there. But I just got this burden for our city, and I began to see how businesses were falling over each other to show who could be more gay-friendly, who could be more reaching out in that particular way. I'm doing a live feed here, but I just realized that I didn't have something plugged in properly, so I am going to try to execute this. Aha! Let's see if we can do this successfully. Can I? All right, so you're watching this. I apologize that you're watching something jumping all around here, but I think we are about to fix the feed you were getting there. My bad, I forgot to plug something in. That should change the sound quality for everybody watching the feed. All right, thanks for bearing with me as I did that. Again, number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. So I got this burden about homosexual activism, all right? That was my burden, gay activism, where it was going in society. I saw pretty quickly that this had become the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America as I began to read and research and look at this. I had some awareness. I talked about these things a little bit, but if you looked at my first 19 books and took all of the references to homosexual practice, gay activism, and combined them, maybe be a page or two. This was never a major thing on my heart. So now God begins to burden me about homosexual activism. All right, we didn't have transgender activism really then, so gay, lesbian activism. God begins to burden me about that, but I want to understand people. I want to reach out to people, not just stand against an agenda. I want to understand the people involved. These are human beings loved by God. So I began to read everything I could read on the subject. I began to read whatever I could on people said they're gay Christians, or here's a gay pastor, or here's someone talking about the struggles they went through growing up and why they've rejected God. I'd make appointments and even meet with local gay activists and sit and talk and say, tell me your story. If I was flying and I realized the person I was with, just clearly they were gay or lesbian, either what they were saying or I just picked up the vibes of it, and I begin to talk with them, and I tell them, tell me your story. And sometimes I sit with tears as we spoke. So God began to break my heart for the people. And in January of 2005, stuff that had been growing in my heart for months now, from 2004 into 2005, I was with Lou Engel. It was a pro-life event in D.C. We were there. It was freezing cold. We put the life tape on our mouths, red tape with the word life written over it. We walked, I think it was almost 2 miles, to the Supreme Court building, and we stood there in silent prayer for a long period of time, praying for the unborn, making appeal, as Lou would say, to the highest court of all, to God's heavenly court, praying for an end of the slaughter of the unborn and praying for a culture of life in America. And with life tape on your mouth so you can't talk, I'm just praying silently, crying out to God, and this thing begins to rise in my heart. Reach out and resist. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Reach out and resist. That began to grow in my heart. And that's the burden that we've carried ever since then. And God's raised me up as a national, even international voice on these things. When I was going on Tyra Banks about transgender issues, they called me. I was recommended by Focus on the Family. They called me. I said, my doctorate is in Semitic languages. My doctorate in Semitic languages. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a psychologist, counselor. My doctorate's in Semitic languages. They said, no, you're the right person. We want you on. God raised me up. Look, I've testified, for example, before congressional leaders and university chancellors in Peru about same-sex, quote, marriage. What happens when you normalize homosexuality and redefine marriage? I said, I'm not here to bash anyone. I'm not here to incite hatred against anyone. Some of your best friends, family members, people close to you, maybe gay, lesbian, they'd be the nicest people you know. But the question is, what happens when you normalize homosexual practice? What happens when you redefine marriage? So I've become a major voice on this simply by the calling of God. But I tell you, God put a burden in my heart for the people. As I've said many times, we need hearts of compassion with backbones of steel. Hearts of compassion with backbones of steel. And friends, now is a time when the church must stand with clarity. Now is a time when the church must speak with compassion. Now is the time where we must have convictions that stand strong against an agenda that is getting more intense by the day. And I began to say 13 years ago, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. People said, you're crazy. No one wants to put you in the closet. What are you talking about? And then a few years ago, the tone changed and people began to say, bigots like you belong in the closet. We're seeing this, friend. When Kim Davis went to jail for refusing to comply with the justice's orders, the judge's order to issue same-sex, quote, marriage certificates, there were plenty of people around America that were thrilled and said she's got what she deserved. I read posts where people were comparing her to ISIS. How crazy. How insane. I got compared the other day to the 9/11 terrorists because I said that what California is doing is utterly wrong to tell someone with same-sex attraction that you can't get help or counsel. That if you are struggling with same-sex attraction and want help or counsel, it will be illegal, according to a new bill in California, illegal to get such counsel. That's outrageous. If you're a man that feels trapped in a woman's body and said, I want help to understand my male nature, that I'm really a man, that would be illegal. If you said, I believe I'm a woman trapped in a man's body, I want help to become a woman, that would be legal. It's utterly outrageous. Because I said people should have the right to self-determination, I've been compared to the 9/11 terrorists. Friends, that breaks my heart for the people. So the question is ultimately, what does the Bible say? Gay activists in the late 60s, early 70s, realized that they had two great obstacles to being accepted in America. One was the psychological profession that said homosexuality was a sickness, a mental disorder like schizophrenia or something like that. That was their position. And the church said it's a sin. If you go to gay churches, I don't know if you still have these tracts, but I've seen it when I went to a gay and lesbian presentation on the Bible years ago, that they're handing out literature, not a sickness, not a sin. Not a sickness, not a sin. This is what they had to combat. Well, by 1973, the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association had made turns. The second one did it first. They made a turn. They depathologized it. They said there's nothing sick about it. It's perfectly fine. And people are at home with this and function perfectly normally. So they got rid of the sickness thing. So the battle has been ever since the church. Yes, the religious world, but it's primarily in America, the church. And that's why this constant battle to change what the Bible says about homosexual practice, but the Word of God does not change. So we want to clear up some myths, some misconceptions. I want to take your calls. Phone lines are open. I'll be getting to the phone shortly, 866-348-7884. And I've got a really neat announcement about a brand new tool we're releasing. It's released today. It is, I believe, the most important video we've ever put out. It's yours, free to share. We'll be right back. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. During my little two-minute break, I was just going on Facebook saying hi to everybody. Yeah, Norway, good to see you. Australia, come on, isn't this cool? Finland, how cool is this? Just that we get to do this, New Jersey, all over the place. Yeah, so if you want to know, if you're in Greater Dallas, Texas, and you want to know where I am tonight, I think it's Gospel Lighthouse Church. In fact, hang on, I got my computer right here. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be tonight so you can come to the meeting. I think it starts at 7 o'clock at night, and it is Gospel Lighthouse Church, 5525 West Illinois Avenue in Dallas. Got that? Gospel Lighthouse Church, 5525 West Illinois Avenue in Dallas. 7 o'clock tonight. That is the plan. That is the schedule. Okay, I am going to be going to the phones in a moment. But special announcement. We have worked for some time now to put out the best video we have ever done. Just 6 minutes long. And it answers all the major questions that you would have. All the major questions that you would have about what does the Bible say about homosexual practice? What about some of the objections that are raised? It has been professionally animated. It just went live this morning. It's getting a ton of great responses. In fact, As of right now, let me just see here one second. As of right now, this video dealing with a very controversial subject, one that's dividing churches, that's separating family members. Let's see. So far, the viewers today, it has 178 thumbs up and only 2 thumbs down. So you think, I mean, something like this, you're going to get all kinds of protests, and I'm sure those are going to come. A lot of comments, discussion already, viewed over 1,700 times just on our YouTube channel. So I want to encourage you strongly, if you're over on YouTube, it's Ask Dr. Brown, the YouTube channel, ASKDR Brown, please share this video. We're relying on all of you to help get this out. We're relying on all of you to help share this. So this is how we work as a team. You'll find it informative. Christian leaders have watched it already and said, this is it. This is the one that we have to get out because it answers everything in a concise way, deals with the objections, gives the biblical foundation. So I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but I just want to play for you the first minute or so. In fact, here's the easiest place to go to watch. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, so to my website, /consider this. All right? Ask Dr. Brown, AskDrBrown.org/consider this. This is the first in a series of videos we're putting out called Consider This. Yeah, great comment from Emmanuel in Israel. Best video ever. God bless Dr. Brown and his team. Love from Israel. So this is what we're hoping, that this is really going to circulate and make an impact. If you go to AskDrBrown.org, you'll see right on the homepage the Consider This banner. And then you'll find the video right there. But before I go to the phones, I want to start with Lydia in Charlotte. Before I go to the phones, let's just listen to the first minute. You'll hear it on the radio now, but you'll get to watch this for yourself. Let's just listen to the first minute. All right. Do we not have it, guys? Queued up? Okay. Here's a great comment. I was gay. Jesus saved me a year ago, and I'm no longer gay. It was a lie from Satan. Jesus can take the gay away and give you his spirit to help you to be holy as God is holy. God is good. All right, maybe we didn't have that queued up. We'll come back to it. To the phones. Lydia from Charlotte, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I have this question bothering me, really.
Yeah.
So is it okay for a Christian person like to be a friend or a best friend to a gay person? And if so, how are we supposed to deal with it? And just, if you feel okay, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. And if
can
I don't
you
want
be,
to be their friend, I feel I'm doing something wrong. So, what am I supposed
to
do?
No, by all means, if you can be a friend, of course. Jesus came into the world to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And by all means, if you can build a relationship, of course, we want to show love to everyone. Now listen, if the person, let's say you had come out of homosexuality, right? And you were tempted, yeah. And you were struggling, and now your best, closest friend was gay, and you were getting pulled in. That's one thing. But if that's not an issue in your life, of course, everyone needs friends. The better we can be friends, demonstrate genuine Christian love, and make clear that we love people, period, not because of who they are or how they live, that's wonderful and important. Now, if the person claimed to be a Christian, they claimed to be a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, and they were going to your church, and they were practicing homosexuality, they were engaging in homosexual practice, and they were refusing to repent, and they said, hey, God's fine with this, God's happy with my same-sex relationship, everything's good with that, okay? If that was the case, then you'd have to call that person to repentance and separate fellowship. But if it's just like anybody else, look, if my neighbor was an atheist, if my neighbor was a Buddhist, if my neighbor was sleeping with his girlfriend, if my neighbor was a heavy drinker, if my neighbor was a greedy businessman, if my neighbor was a bisexual, whatever, sure, I'm going to be friends. And the more that person wants to be my friend, the better. And then as a friend, get involved in their life, and as you have opportunity to share the gospel with them, your big message is not homosexuality is sin. Your big message is Jesus is Savior. And I would build a relationship and go from there.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, it's a gift from God if you can be friends with those who differ with you. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so let's see if we can play that clip. And this is the first minute of this video. I really encourage your friends, everyone watching on Facebook, everyone listening on internet, everyone listening on your radio, cell phone, as soon as you have the opportunity, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Consider This, and then when you watch the video, share it with others. Post it on Instagram or wherever the links, Facebook, Twitter. Share it as widely as you can. And by the way, I'm looking at a post here from Aura. I'm an atheist, don't believe it's a choice, just as I don't believe homosexuality is a choice. No one said it was a choice. It's a choice as to what we do with how we act on things. But no one said it's a choice in terms of someone just chooses to have same-sex attractions. No, this is often a shock to people growing up, and they can't believe they had, and they want to get away from these. We fully understand that, and I'll make that as clear as possible. All right, so let's just listen to the first minute of this video. Go ahead. Can you be gay and Christian? Well, if you claim to be a Christian, then Jesus is your Lord and the Bible's your authority. So the real question is, what does Jesus have to say about this? What does the Bible, God's Word, have to say? Now, we know that every Christian struggles in some area, whether it be pride or anger or lust or jealousy or greed, but we also recognize that these desires and attitudes are sinful, saying no to them and yes to the Lord. In the same way, some Christians struggle with same-sex attractions, saying no to those attractions and yes to the Lord. But what about those who say, God made me gay? And if I'm in a committed relationship, then the Lord is pleased. After all, God is love, and love wins. And what the Bible opposes is abusive relationships like homosexual pederasty and prostitution and promiscuity. That's what Scripture condemns. But God blesses committed same-sex relationships. Is this true? Well, let's look at what the Bible, God's Word, has to say, starting at the beginning. All right, for some reason, you are not hearing that feed. So during the break, we will try to get that set. Now, of course, you're going to want to watch the whole video now that you couldn't even hear the first minute. But I really prayed about this, and we put a lot of effort, resources into producing this in a way. It's with animation and everything like that. Like I said, it's the best video we've ever done. But I really put prayerful thought into this. What are the principal issues that come up? And fundamentally, this is one of the things that happens. First, we have to define our terms. Do you mean that you can't have same-sex attractions and follow Jesus? Well, many people have attractions. Many people have desires. All of us have areas of the flesh that we realize are wrong. Could be pride, could be lust, could be greed, could be something else. And we know those things are wrong, but we say no to them and yes to God, right? We say no to those things and yes to God. So there may be someone who's same-sex attracted, and you recognize that same-sex attraction is wrong in God's sight. You recognize that, you understand that it's wrong in God's sight, and you say no to it, and instead you follow Jesus. That's one thing. But what about those who say, look, the Bible is against homosexual pederasty. The Bible is against homosexual prostitution. The Bible is against homosexual promiscuity. It says nothing whatsoever about committed same-sex relationships. That's not what the biblical authors were doing. They weren't talking about those subjects. So when you have two gay men or two gay ladies and they say, we love the Lord, we're flourishing, we're so much happier now, our lives are fulfilled, we're bearing fruit, we're praying together, we're in the Word together, how can you say that's wrong? And what we have to do is say, okay, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible address committed, loving, same-sex relationships? What about what God did starting in the beginning in the book of Genesis? What about the prohibition of Leviticus 18? Does that still apply? So these are the questions we're going to take up right here on the Line of Fire. If you've got a question, 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, figure this out. I'm here live in Dallas, Texas. Figure this out. I have the exact same configuration as we're doing a live stream broadcast on Facebook, live stream video. Now, if you were watching on Facebook before, I was the camera was sideways, the iPhone, so landscape mode. Now it's upright. What happened? I don't know. It wouldn't go the other way. Did I change any setting? No, but everyone can hear the radio feed perfectly now. So much for technology. I didn't change anything. Unplugged, replugged, that was it. But here we are. Welcome to the broadcast. You're listening on radio thinking, what are you talking about? What, live stream, Facebook, picture? I don't know. But anyway, welcome back, folks from around the world. And a reminder to everyone in the DFW area, please join me tonight, a rare Wednesday night when I'm out speaking, Gospel Lighthouse Church, 5525 West Illinois Avenue in Dallas, Texas. So join me if you can tonight. Can you be gay and Christian? If by that you mean, can you have same-sex attraction and follow Jesus at the same time? Well, if you acknowledge it's wrong, you say no to it and yes to the Lord, and either you live a single life or God works in you to change those desires to become heterosexual, and then God brings you into a heterosexual relationship. Either way, you can follow Jesus and have those struggles. Everybody has struggles, some deeper than others. But one pastor who had counseled hundreds and hundreds of people with all types of sexual addictions and problems said he heard of people's struggles, every imaginable struggle. No, things that were unimaginable, things he never heard of or dreamt of, yet people struggled with these things deeply, painfully for years. And some said, I've always been like this. So yeah, there are deep struggles. Are people born homosexual, born with homosexual desire? There is no reputable scientific evidence to support that. It's often deeply ingrained in people's psyches and to earlier parts of their lives, but there's no reputable scientific evidence that anyone's, quote, born gay. But even if someone was, well, we know we're born sinful. And the soundbite answer is, well, we must be born again. Jesus promises us new life. And some of us, to the core of our being, we're full of hate, to the core of our being, full of anger, to the core of our being, proud, or whatever it is, yet Jesus can change us from the inside out. So yes, you can struggle with same-sex attraction, but you recognize they're wrong and sinful. And what does Jesus say? Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me, right? Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. So I have to deny the fundamental aspect of myself to follow Jesus, to who I am, to the core of my being, and then now live a new life in him where I find the real meaning and purpose of life. But what about those who say, well, God's blessed my relationship. I'm with a same-sex partner, and God's blessed our relationship, and we love the Lord together. And when we read scripture, we see the Bible speaking against homosexual abuses. That's what the biblical authors were seeing. Moses saw it in the context of idolatry. Paul saw it in the context of idolatry. That's why they addressed it. They saw homosexual promiscuity or pederasty or prostitution. That's what they were addressing. But the Bible doesn't address loving committed same-sex relationships. How do we answer that? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have any question of any kind where I could be of help to you in any of these areas, by all means, give me a call, 866-348-7884. Okay, but in short, I have a massive problem with the idea that the biblical authors were not aware of homosexual couples, committed same-sex relationships, that this was foreign to them, and therefore they didn't address it. Number one, were they inspired by God or not? If by the inspiration of the Spirit they categorically condemned homosexual practice, if by the inspiration of the Spirit they said that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God and that the practice is detestable, if they were only talking about certain categories and didn't make that clear, Wouldn't that be condemning people for centuries and centuries and centuries by the inspiration of the Spirit? I have a problem with that if they weren't speaking accurately. I have another problem. Jesus, we are told, John 2:24-25, knew what was in all men. He knew what was in people's hearts. You know, in Luke 7, there's an example where he answers what someone thinks a thought, he answers it. He knew what was in people's hearts. Are you telling me that Jesus, the Son of God, looked into the hearts of human beings, looked into the hearts of those struggling with same-sex attraction, looked into the hearts of a man who says, what do I do? I'm attracted to the same sex, but I can't tell anyone. He looked into those hearts and he didn't see that? He didn't know that? He didn't understand that? When I had debated someone on the subject, I raised that argument. He claimed to be a Christian. One of his Christian friends got online later that day and said, yeah, well, maybe he didn't know that. So in other words, you're going to degrade who Jesus is, downgrade who Jesus is. You're going to downgrade the scriptures. You're going to change what the Bible says in order to accommodate alleged compassion for someone with same-sex attraction. That's not compassion. That's deception. All you're doing is contributing to someone's deception and ultimately condemnation. How is that good? How is that positive? And there's something else. Tells us in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning verse 12, that the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the very division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That everything is laid bare before the word of God. That we stand naked before God, laid bare by the word of God. So the word of God gets to the very depth of what's happening in our lives. You're telling me that that word of God does not understand committed same-sex relationships? What? And then it's a myth that the biblical authors would have been unaware of these things. There's ample evidence from before the time of Paul and after the time of Paul that there were people in long-term same-sex relationships. There's ample evidence of that. I've documented that in other writings following other scholars' work on that. Not only so, there was, you know, Nero marrying his partner. You had bogus things like that. You had speculation about whether people were born lesbian or was astrological signs, you were born a certain way. This was discussed back then. And there's Jewish tradition. We can't place exactly how far it goes back. But there's Jewish tradition that may well have been known in Jesus' day. May well be something that he was aware of that claimed that one of the reasons that God destroyed the earth in Noah's day was that they were writing same-sex marriage contracts. And there are other ancient Jewish traditions talking about this is one of the great sins of the pagan world. So same-sex marriage contracts, going back to the flood. Okay, this is a Jewish tradition, but that Jewish tradition could well have been known and circulating in Jesus' day. You can make a good case for that. All that to say, it's bogus, number one, to say that the inspired writers of Scripture being led by God, moved by God, completely missed this whole category of people that were in committed same-sex relationships, that they were either unaware of them or that what the Holy Spirit addressed didn't address that. That is utterly bogus. Now, friends, if you just tuned in, I want to draw your attention to something. I'm really excited. We have been, literally, my team, we have been counting the days until this moment. We have released the first in a new series of videos called Consider This. These are the best videos we've ever produced in terms of production value, in terms of time, effort, energy going into a single video. You'll see the moment you put it on and watch. The very first video in our new series, Consider This, they're all free. We want you to share them widely. We've put these out to be tools for you. So work with us. We've done the hard part. We've put together the script. We've filmed it in high quality. We have worked with an animation company to get the best graphics we can and put time, effort, energy into it. Now the easy part is just you click, bing, click, share it. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. Share it, email it to your friends. If you have a blog, blog about it. We've done the heavy lifting. Now it's our gift to you to serve the body. The very first video in the series is, Can You Be Gay and Christian? In 6 minutes, We address all the principal issues. We lay out the foundations, beginning in Scripture, beginning in Genesis, with God creating us male and female, with God designing the human race to reproduce. So by design, a man is made for a woman and a woman is made for a man. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And when God said it's not good for the man to be alone in Genesis 2, he needs a suitable helper. He didn't just say a suitable companion, suitable helper, because only with a woman could Adam reproduce and fulfill the mandate to be fruitful and multiply and thus fill the earth. You say, yeah, but a gay couple, they're not hurting anything. Well, they are in violation of God's design for creation. God did not design man for man or woman for woman. Something is wrong when those desires are there, which is why God condemns homosexual practice. And if he said the act is detestable, it doesn't become any less detestable if you do it over and over with the same person. And yet, as you'll see on this video, there is hope, and the gospel message is for all. We deal with the question, did Jesus address this? What about what Paul said? Did the biblical writers really understand these issues? Should we put homosexuality in a category of its own? We address all of this with redemption and with hope and with love. So take a minute. So number one, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Wow, this is clear. It'll help you. It'll be a good tool for you. But I'm asking you, if we've been a blessing to you, to partner with us and just share this. That's what I'm asking. All right? Share this video as widely as you can. We want it to go viral. And we're depending on God and we're depending on our fellowship as brothers and sisters to do this together. All right? So go to AskDrBrown.org, and you'll see the banner, Consider This. Click on that, or just AskDrBrown.org/consider this. Go there, watch the video, and I believe as soon as you watch it, you're going to want to share it. In fact, let's just see here. Oh, let me just take a look and update on what's happening here. Video just went live this morning, and it's been viewed, almost 1,800 times so far. But thus far, thumbs up 182, thumbs down 3. So it hasn't circulated out to the critics yet. They'll start blasting it. Get involved in the conversations there. So this is just on YouTube alone. It's being viewed this many times. So let's get the message out. And here's the good news. If the Son of God sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what areas you are struggling with. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So consider this. Check out the video. If you say, man, I'm excited about this series because we're going to be tackling the cutting edge issues and high quality videos, you can stand with us, support us financially. But number one, share the video. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hi, Dave from Flower Mound. You're going to be driving about 40 minutes. Yeah, my hotel is about 40 minutes from the church where I'm scheduled to speak tonight. So look forward to see all my friends in Dallas. Let's go to the phones. Matthew, I was going to go to the phones with Matthew, but I'm going to postpone that right now. 866-348-7884. By the way, in my feed, I just heard another ad about this horrific NAR, New Apostolic Reformation. And people are laying on the graves of others and trying to soak up their anointing. And this is happening around the world. It's an idiotic practice that some students from the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry engaged in. And one leader encouraged them to do, you know, just get by the graves of godly people and just lay on them and just soak up their anointing. When leaders found out about that, first they thought it was just a joke. When they found out about it, they spoke against it. Chris Vallotton did. I asked Bill Johnson plainly about it on my radio show. He absolutely renounced it, said it's wrong. In any case, it's a bogus practice. It's an idiotic practice. It would violate things. Are you consulting with the dead? It's wrong on every front. all right, and a few people engaged in it. What does that have to do with this alleged worldwide movement? See, this is the hysteria against which I speak. This is the type of stuff that I speak out against because I get the reports. How come you're not renouncing this? Because you got a few people, maybe zealous, but totally wrong, all right, wrong-headed. Dude, you got a few people going out doing these things. So it comes up, you renounce it. But it's got nothing to do with 99.9% of charismatic Pentecostals around the world. This alleged norm is everywhere. So if you haven't, so here's what happens. You hear about the extreme. If I lived in Redding, California, it's possible that Bethel would not be my home church because I wouldn't agree with certain emphases and things. It might be. I don't know. But it might be. Now, I wouldn't want to go there because I disagree with, I love the people, love the leaders, but I disagree with this. I'm not totally at home there. Maybe I'd say, I like a place where they put a greater emphasis on holiness or, you know, a certain spiritual environment. That might be the case. All right. Just like I've said, if I lived in Phoenix, Dr. White's church, as much as I love and respect, I'd want to go hear him speak or hear somebody speak there, but that wouldn't be my home church because I differ on certain points, all right? But here's the deal. What we hear about is an aberrant practice, an extreme aberrant practice that represents the tiniest percentage of a people, the tiniest percentage of a group, and then that gets multiplied as if it's this epidemic. That is the hysteria against which I speak. And I just heard an ad, not this break, but the break before. Once again, what is the New Apostolic Reformation? Here are some of the practices. Like, oh, gosh. It is. So if you haven't read my article, my recent article on dispelling the myths of NAR, if you haven't listened to my radio interview with Dr. Joe Matera from Monday, all of this is available at AskDrBrown.org. Take advantage of it. Yeah, Jeremy, that's the commercial that I was talking about. This is the type of stuff. So look, any group that's big enough is going to have something aberrant, okay? Any group that's big enough is going to have people, I was part of that and I got burned. You find me any big church in a city with, say, 5,000 members plus, all right? I'll go around that city and I'll find people with horror stories about their church. Oh, they do this, they do that, they're abused. Oh, the pastor's a heretic. Oh, they're guilty of, oh, they try to take your money. You're always going to have disgruntled people. What you have to say is, okay, let's look at the whole thing and see if this is a reflection of the whole. No, it's not. It's a disgruntled member. Or, yeah, there was a problem, but that they fired the person involved. No, this is just aberrant, okay? That is inevitable. That's going to be the case. And there was one rabbi who wisely said this. I think it was Yitz Greenberg. And I may not get the wording exactly right, but that it is wrong for me to take the best qualities of my religion and compare them to the worst qualities of yours. So I'm going to look at, say, for example, the most sacrificial Christian love, the most sacrificial Christian missions work, the kindest, godliest person out on the field serving others. I'm going to contrast that with ISIS and say this is the difference between Christianity and Islam. Well, if I'm going to look at church history, I'm going to have to explain crusades, I'm going to have to explain inquisitions, I'm going to have to explain scandals, I'm going to have to explain other things, and then to say these are problems. All right, now we have a new problem here in the room, which is the phone. The phone rings in the pastor's office where I am, so whoever it is, I just hung up on. I don't know who the person is, but I just hung up on them. There's always a new challenge when you broadcast on the road, always a new challenge. I hope you're enjoying the journey as much as I am. But if I am going to look at ISIS, I can't look at ISIS as the representation of Islam. I have to look at Islam as a whole. And I have to look at the best examples and the worst examples. And then what does Islam actually teach? And what's according to Islamic doctrine and what isn't? And then do the same thing with Christianity. Do the exact same thing with Christianity and compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So, yeah, I apologize for getting off topic here, but hearing that ad in my ear is just utterly shocking. And this is the fear-mongering that I protest. This is the fear-mongering that I speak against. This is the fear-mongering. I'm not saying the people doing it are insincere. I'm not saying they're doing it to make a dollar. I'm saying it is dangerous. And I read a whole book that recently, you know, looked at various practices and said, well, these are systematic or these are systemic in this particular group. And I know for a fact they're not systemic. That's number one. And number two, when there's a quote, it's taken in the worst possible way. In other words, I could hear, if I hear someone that I know preaching and they say something that seems a little odd, but I know them well, I know who they are, I know what they believe, then I'll tell them, hey, you said thus and such. And like, oh, yikes, that could come out like this. Yeah, and they'll immediately fix it. There's one brother who was making a statement in his book, and he made the statement, Jesus wasn't human. And one of my friends read it. This is a national leader. One of my friends read it and contacted me immediately and said, in context, I think he was saying Jesus was not just human. But the way he said it, it made it seem as if he was only God and not really a man. And I contacted him immediately. He said, this was the context. This is what I wanted to say. I said, well, this is how you said it. He goes, oh, thank you for pointing that out. I will immediately correct that in the next edition. Thanks, man, for reaching out to me. Now, I could have, if I didn't know him personally, I could have gotten on radio, so speaking nationally, internationally, and bam, this guy, he said this, but that's not what he actually believes. It should have been caught by him or an editor or a proofreader. It should have been. Absolutely. Of course. But it's not what he was intending to say. And when you read the larger context, you understand that. Somebody came to me recently, a Jewish believer, and said, Andy Stanley preached XYZ. And it sounded like he was coming against, you know, Israel. And I read it, it's like, no, that's not, I don't believe that's what he's trying to do. But anyway, I have access to Andy Stanley. I'm just going to shoot him a note. Say, hey, you said thus and such. It raised some concerns. Can you clarify? And then if he says, oh, no, they're absolutely right. That's what I believe. But look, I was at a conference a few years ago. And the leader of a conference, careful theologian, said in Andy Stanley, he accepts same-sex marriage in his church. So I sent him a text message. I said, I'm at this conference, and they said thus and such about you. He said, I don't. That's wrong. Please correct it. And I went back to the leader because it was a night meeting. It was too late to do it then. He said, well, would you get up and correct it publicly? I'm glad to hear that. There was a careful theologian. He had a misunderstanding. And Andy thanked me for doing that. But I could have gone with that because it was from a respected theologian. But I had access. If you don't have access, try to find out sympathetically. Do you understand that on a regular basis, people bash John MacArthur to me and tell me all these bad things about him? And my response is, hey, I differ with Pastor MacArthur on this, but I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. I'm not going to believe every bad report. Not that they're doing aberrant things like grave soaking. I don't mean that. I hope you understand that. But, you know, all these people post on YouTube, but he says you could get the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation and still be saved. I've never seen his teaching about it. I've never looked into it. I've seen that accusation over and over with clips. I've never gone to look at the clip. Just like when you send me the latest clip of, well, here's Lou Engel praying and he's crazy the way he prays. I'm not looking at that clip either. I'm not looking at the John MacArthur clip either. And if he said something I differ with, then that's, am I going to damn him to hell over that? Well, he's apostate. He's a heretic. No, we're brothers in the Lord. We have strong difference on charismatic Pentecostal issues. Other things we agree deeply. I respect him and honor him in the midst of the differences. But I'm not looking for an aberrant report, friends. We got to step higher. And where the reports of aberrant teaching or aberrant practices are normative, that's when we really get up in arms. That's when we raise our voices. That's when we speak out. All right, do I have time? A minute. Javen asking, can someone explain the NAR thing? Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just look at latest articles and latest radio broadcasts. You'll find out about this, but read my article, Dispelling the Myth of NAR. In short, New Apostolic Reformation was a movement led by Dr. Peter Wagner that emphasized apostolic ministry today. I agreed with some of it. I differed with others. I was never part of that. However, critics have now dubbed all these different Pentecostal charismatic groups that believe in fivefold ministry today, which I've done for decades, grouped them pretty much all together. Even these other groups put them all together in this heading of this alleged NAR, which is supposedly an apostate non-Christian movement that's deceiving people around the world. It is a myth. All right, everybody, right now, go to askdrbrown.org. All right, go there, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Consider This banner. Watch the video, Can You Be Gay and Christian? Share it with your friends today.